Saturday morning, 7:39, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Yesterday, we had a chance to talk to Mayor D.C. Reeves and hear him give the ribbon-cutting speeches for the skate park. And today, we have him on the radio, as we always do on a Wednesday. Mayor D.C. Reeves, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you so much. Did you survive? Did you break any bones, anything?
I came away with an Achilles tendon injury that was caused by somebody else who lost control of their skateboard and it ran into my foot. I did not injure myself, thankfully.
It was definitely them. It was definitely them. I get it. Yeah, I understand.
That's right. And it was great. I know this. One of the things that I heard people asking, and I know you kind of talked with me a little bit about it yesterday, was, things like, okay, bikes are not supposed to be there. There were a couple of bicyclists. Are we trying to enforce the helmet rule, that kind of stuff, which, I mean, there was, 5% of the people there were wearing helmets, maybe something like that. Can you just maybe speak a little bit to rules and rule enforcement? Because that was one of the pre-announcements, was the set of rules for the skate park.
Right, and of course, that's also why, I've been asking the favor of our media partners this last couple of weeks to say, hey, please get these rules out. But look, I mean, I can certainly speak to my business life. You start with something and there's rules and you learn too, in terms of how you enforce it, what is enforceable. And of course, you have to understand a lot of the rules that you're speaking of. These are not preferential things to the mayor. These are liability issues, And so we've got to, certainly cover ourselves as a city of saying, this is how we instruct that this is properly used. And that's just an obligation of ours. So, I think we're going to learn. I mean, look, I talked with our police department about how we want to enforce graffiti there, and my answer is we're going to really, really enforce it. And then we're going to learn what's happening. Right now it's brand new. And so I think it's not because we're wanting to push it off. I think these are the types of things that we're going to live and learn a little bit. We're going to say, hey, what needs to be a zero tolerance, non-negotiable, and what maybe is something that we have to adjust. So, I think we're going to let it play out here for a little bit. The rules are the rules. I'm not saying break them. I'm just saying, we'll do a check-in and see how things are going and how we need to enforce moving forward.
Yeah, and, you always have to keep in mind, what is the purpose of the space? The purpose of the space is to be where skaters come. And, if you make it the kind of place that they don't want to come to, well, guess what? They won't. and we don't want that to happen. And that's part of that is having the right rules, and part of that is knowing which rules we can maybe, not be so emphatic about. So I appreciate that attitude. I wanted to ask you, you made an announcement yesterday in your press conference about the welcome sign, sort of the – you'd already had a meeting with some people. You're into the middle phases of selection here. Is there anything more you can tell us either about what's been proposed or when we might be able to see maybe what the finalists are or anything like that?
Yeah, so I know our committee met. I was not part of that selection committee, but the one that we had determined, Sidney Robinson at the city, is kind of headed this up. And of course, Dalrymple Salas has been involved, as they have been since before this idea, in terms of what would go there next. And so I know that they had narrowed it down internally to, I believe, three. But understand, and I always qualify this, we didn't obligate ourselves or promise that we're going to do a contest because we didn't know what we were going to get. I mean, what if only one of them would be under budget? And so we didn't want to, overextend the city's obligation to the citizen or overpromise that we would say, here are your top five, everybody vote. And we still don't necessarily say that because the next phase is we kind of have to sit down with the artist and say, okay, tell us about these materials. Wait, this might be 6 inches too big. And so we knew coming into this that this is going to be a little complicated and it's complex. This is a six-figure installment here, between everything, engineering, and the restaurant's got to give us an easement to be able to access the property. There's a lot of moving parts with FDOT as well. So we knew that. We signed up for that and knowing that that was the complication because we thought that at the end game, the finished product is going to be much more a reflection of our city than just putting the word Pensacola on a sign. And so, it's a little bit of the growing pains we're taking on, the adjustment. So I would tell you, I know that it still remains internal at this point, that we have narrowed it down. But I think the next step is we're going to meet with those finalists and learn more than we know in just the simple application.
And also, I think any reasonable person looking at this design application process for that welcome sign would recognize that this is different than naming a street sweeper, right? That it's perfectly understandable to put naming a street sweeper into a popularity contest. And then, you know, that's very different from giving, like, here are the four designs, you vote on it, because, you know, somebody's going to have to take ownership and responsibility for that end result. And it might lend itself to a, you know, popularity contest. It might not. And so, you know, even somebody who likes that kind of stuff, I appreciate that answer. Speaking of, when are we looking for final results on the, I think it's closing today, right? Is the street sweeper naming contest?
It is. It is closing today. I do have all of our, Jamie Brierton at PPD, who puts the striping on all the PPD cars. They are at the ready to get those cars, to have our names put on the street sweepers, whatever those are. And I truly don't, at this moment, I haven't even gotten a pulse check of what the top three are or four are to this point. So it'll be a surprise for me as well. But yeah, that ends. We're over 6,000 votes, which is awesome. And again, exactly why we do this kind of stuff, just to, you know, engage. I mean, who knew we had three new street sweepers until about a month ago or 2 months ago. So, I still maintain Dirt Reynolds, is my top favorite. And, but we'll see what happens. I really don't know. I mean, there's about, I would say probably six of those 12 names. I think everything's on the table.
Any of those
any
six,
three
yeah.
of about maybe six of those names I'm seeing everywhere. So
I will say this. I was super confident about this process until you told me that Brierton's overseeing. I'm not sure now. He's such a good friend. He'll laugh at that.
No, I understand your concern, but
he's dying.
The Belangel car looks pretty good. The new cars look pretty good.
Oh no, he's the best. Jamie's the best. Hang on for me for just a second. We're talking to Mayor DC Reeves. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
What about DeBree Gibson? I know it's too late to put one in, but I know that's.
Oh, that was him.
See, thank you. Okay, traffic, F-6-437-1620, and lots going on right now. Be careful. Stop and go southbound Avalon in Milton and I-10 westbound off of Avalon exit in Milton. I'm not showing an accident, but very, very slow in that area. North Palafox and Johnson Avenue in Pensacola showing an accident with no roadblock. 98 still showing congestion, as always, at Whispering Pines, continuing eastbound to Windhaven. No accident, but again, the Hurlburt Gate traffic does have backups. Northbound entrance for I-110 north at Brentland. Pensacola showing an accident, but not a roadblock. Still watch for emergency vehicles on scene. Fairfield eastbound, just past the 110 overpass, showing a roadblock and an accident at 29 and Barano Park Road in Molino. Not a roadblock, but slow. That's near the new Dollar General. If you have traffic, devs, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Several things that all kind of hang together in my mind that I know you're working on all of them sort of simultaneously because they're all sort of in the same vicinity. We found out last week, of course, and you said you got the report yesterday, the final report that the Malcolm Young Gym is, I mean, it's uninhabitable. You can't. That's why we're having to find alternative accommodations for the school. You were talking yesterday about the Hawkshaw Memorial for Lost Kids, that the underneath that is like, you don't see it from up above, but down underneath it is a hot mess. And, you know, we learned that when we were doing beach cleanup stuff with Ocean Hour. And then sort of ongoing questions about, you know, parks and facilities and maintenance costs. And you are planning to, or you're starting to put together, like, generally speaking, an assessment of everything we've got and what it costs and what condition it's in, because that's how you run a business, right?
Absolutely. Look, I always say 80% of failure is ambiguity. Who's in charge of which person in the building is the point person for this park, for this monument? And I think that's what we've got to clean up, is to kind of say, hey, there's full clarity on who is in charge of this item. Doesn't mean they got to do it. Doesn't mean that we aren't going to bring a contractor in, as we are, to help clean up under Hawkshaw. Doesn't mean you got to do it yourself, but we just have to understand who's on first. You know, we have to know that. And I think that's really going to happen in two forms. One is really just overall, both from, and this is a public works and a parks and rec thing, is to say, let's have clear identification where everybody in the city knows, who the point person for this particular monument slash park is. But, you know, I think a second phase to this is, and I mentioned this in the press conferences, look, we all like to name things. And there's a lot. I mean, if you look at our agenda, we've got about four different things coming on that are, you know, people naming a tree, a bench, a park. And that's all well and good. But I feel irresponsible to the taxpayer moving forward to say that we are going to take on maintenance in perpetuity of some of these things. And I just think that that's not fair. I mean, to the taxpayer. It's okay. I'm not saying we won't ever do it. All I'm saying is when you say we're going to take care of this memorial for the rest of time, there's an expense that goes with that. And yeah. I just think that maybe the missing link here over the years is to say, well, there's a financial impact to that. I mean, there's a negative financial impact. And are we calculating that as we start to build our budget? And I think that's maybe that ambiguity as well, I think is what's gotten away from us and that we're going to get in order here in the next couple months.
Well, look, you know, in terms of like, you know, I credit to Robert Kiyosaki. He's the guy that I learned it from. But the basic idea that, you know, when you acquire something, just because it's paid off doesn't mean it's not a liability, right? If it's ongoing cash flow negative to you to spend money to maintain a thing, that's a liability. If it's ongoing cash generating, you know, well, that's an asset. And it seems to me like across the board in government, we don't do enough pre-analysis to, like, every item that comes before city council, county commission, state, whatever, it ought to say, this is the purchase price tag and this is the maintenance price tag. And that should be an essential part of it, because you're exactly, ribbon cuttings are great, but ribbon cuttings cost money every month after you cut the ribbon. And so I appreciate, as a, you know, I'm not a resident of the city, but I still care, of course, about the city. I appreciate that you're trying to look at things that way, because I'm convinced that is the right way to be looking at them. So I appreciate that. The lightning round, we always like to end with sort of some quick questions. Do you have a defunct store that you miss the most?
Ooh, well, I mean, you know, if I'm on here, you said a defunct store, but it's got to be Blockbuster, right?
Of course. See, that's the layup. That's the easy one, right? Be kind.
I know. There's one left. There's one store left, right? So I don't know if that counts. But yeah, I mean, I'm on here with Blockbuster Brethren. I've got it.
That's right. Email pet peeve for Mayor D.C. Reeves. A thing that people do in their emails that drives you, that bugs you a little bit.
I don't know. I guess maybe this is very new for now is, you know, handing me too many loose ends in an email. Like things that I've got to do. You know, four or five things. You know, that there is or not providing a solution, just a problem.
I gotcha. And you want to externalize those. That's why you have department heads. And then the last one is, yesterday was Teacher Appreciation Day. Tell me who was your, like, jumps to mind immediately when you think, this was the teacher that I remember that I appreciate the most.
Ooh, man. I got a lot of those. I'll say, I just saw her the other day, Miss Ferbazar, my algebra teacher at Catholic High School. You know, once I had made a D or an F in algebra, you know, got my you know what in gear, and I had decent grades for the rest of my academic career ever since that moment. So I was that was my low point of just playing basketball, not doing homework like we've talked about before.
Outstanding.
Yeah, I got to give her credit for that.
I love a teacher who brings a kid into turnaround. D.C. Reeves, he is the mayor of Pensacola, as always, sir. Thanks for the time. We'll talk to you again next week, and always good to talk with you.
All right. Awesome. Thanks, guys.